Blog Talk Radio.
From Babylon to Zion, my chains are looser in my mind, but out here the checks are shooting. The judge judged for hire, the jury's straight mighty. Just to see Israel fried up, they got our phones tapped and wired up. The police got you stuck, no one desires us. This law requires us to buy this man's trust, pay to get salvation. Who you playing? But I pulled your card, I seen your star, they false lights. My spirit spit lyrics so cold, your frostbite. And that's the attitude from your murderous flight, from your rapists every night. And young boys shot down in the street, and they mama's sight. Your overseers call this the good life, like the hood's right. Let's Zion, next fight, y'all's way, that's right. The glory of Lebanon will offload the God plane. That's what we're stepping on the next plane. While Mr. Pentagon, the bees are dying, Florida was trying. Look like death coming to Babylon, the nation about to be born. A pure language giving the call on the name of God. All people will serve the sun, the black supremacist. No hippie on the stick, looking like Dennis the Menace. The demon is finished. When the wicked fall, the meek increase. Israel is free. Yeah. Rejoice in the death of the beast. The restoration of God's people. Children will be righteous, walking in God's likeness, mercy and happiness, all glory in the land that God is blessed. See the truth manifest in God's blessed.
Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise the mighty Yah. Yah is righteous, Yah is holy, and let Yahweh be magnified. Shalom, shalom, shalom. Welcome to another beautiful broadcast of Nothing But the Truth. I am Morey Isha Yisrael from the House of Yisrael, located at 2330 Kemper Lane. Here to bring you nothing but praise Yah and shalom to everyone that is tuned in our viewing and listening audience. For we know the only reason you have tuned into our broadcast is because of your great love and your great fear toward the mighty Yah. And who is this Yah? Yahweh is the creator of the heaven, earth, and sea, and all that in them is. Yahweh is the Elohim of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Yahweh is the only judge, the only lawgiver, the only king, the only redeemer, and the only savior of Israel and the world. And Yahweh has ordained us to bring you his words of truth. And that's what we will do. And today, we are continuing our Renew Your Youth Health Week seminar. And we started on the first day with a special broadcast, our broadcast on the first day. And it was the kickoff of the Renew Your Youth Health Seminar. This week is all about becoming and maintaining and achieving optimum health in the way of the Most High. This is different than what you hear from the various natural health gurus and the holistic health masters and the gimmick teachers that want to bring you some product or some fad diet. We are bringing you the word of Yahweh and how you can protect yourself, how you can keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. And in this week, we've brought to you, especially on the first day, we had some guest speakers to teach you Yahweh's word through health, and we'll continue with that today. We're going to have a guest teacher bring you more information about how to maintain and to achieve optimum health in the ways of Yahweh. Not in the ways of man, but Yahweh and Yahweh alone. The teacher that I'm going to bring up to you today has been teaching in the house of Israel for many years. He's been around for many years, showing forth the word of Yah, a brother that I've known since I've been in the house of Israel. And he's very instrumental to helping our people here in Cincinnati. So without further ado, I would like to bring up to you our very special guest, Moray Yashikar Yisrael. Hallelujah.
Saying hallelujah. Yes, my name is Moray Yashikar. I'm going to give you a little bit of my background. I came in the Word of Yahweh in 1991 under the leadership of Moray Elisha and Moray Dan Ben Israel. I actually started in 1991. I became a Moray in 2014. I was also the director of facilities. I was also in charge of security. And my wife was the secretary of the House of Israel. So we do have some experience. What do you have in plan if it does shut down? Because as we know, we've been going to our enemies, a one for all things, food, clothing, and shelter. And he put a yoke of iron upon our neck until we was utterly destroyed. So the question is now, what are you going to do being ahead of your household to prepare for such a calamity? And what I want to do is show you some scriptures to get you ready for this, because it's here. The days of Yah's visitation is at our door, and we have to get ourselves prepared and get ourselves to prepare against that day. So I want to start out in the book, Deuteronomy, the 8th chapter. And this is Deuteronomy, the 8th chapter, the book of Devarayam or Devarim. And this is Deuteronomy, the 8th chapter. I'm going to start reading at the 3rd verse. It reads, "And he humbled thee, and suffered thee to hunger, and fed thee with manna, which thou knewest not, neither did thy fathers know, that it might make thee know that man doeth not live by bread only. By every word that proceedeth out the mouth of Yahweh doeth man live." So we see when our people was in the wilderness that the Almighty suffered us to hunger and to thirst. And we found out it was done to know what was in our hearts. And so this is something that was done then is going to eventually happen now. So what was then will be now. And we see that the Almighty had suffered us to hunger and to thirst. And we're going to go through that again. So we got to prepare ourselves against that. And I'm going to show you throughout these scriptures how to prepare yourselves against that. Deuteronomy, the 28th chapter. And this is within the confines of the curses of Deuteronomy, the 28th chapter. Let's start with the 50th verse. It reads, a nation of fierce continents, which shall not regard the person of the old, nor show favor of the young. And he shall eat the fruit of thy cattle, and the fruit of thy land, until thou be destroyed, which also shall not leave thee either corn, wine, or oil, till he have destroyed thee. And he shall besiege thee in all thy gates, until the high and fenced walls come down, wherein thou trustest, throughout all thy land, which Yahweh thy Elohim giveth thee. And thou shalt eat the fruit of thy own body, the flesh of thy sons, and of thy daughters, which Yahweh thy Elohim have given thee, in the siege and in the straitness, wherewith thine enemies shall distress thee, so that no man that is tender amongst you and barely delicate, his eyes shall be evil toward his brother, and toward the wife of his bosom, toward the remnant of the children which he shall leave, so that he would not give any of the flesh of his children whom he shall eat, because he hath nothing left in the siege and in the straitness wherewith thy enemies shall distress thee in all thy gates. Now this took place in our land. Damnation that came upon us took place through the Chaldeans, known as the Babylonians. Seeing here that we were besieged in all thy gates. In other words, there was people on the north, the south, the east, and west of us. And it caused us to be where we ran out of food. And within those confines, we started to eat our own flesh. So we don't want to be in that same position today where we don't have nothing to eat. For these were our brothers and sisters that did which was evil in the sight of Yah. And the Almighty had already prophesied in the book of Deuteronomy what took place in the book of Jeremiah. So these are a precursor of the curse that was to come in the future. And this had already had taken place. So we want to make sure we got ourselves together in our health, especially with this coronavirus that are not written in this book. So I want to show you in the book of Jeremiah, the 52nd chapter. This is Jeremiah, the 52nd chapter. I'm going to start with the very first verse. And this was a king, which was one of David's great-great-grandsons. And all the kings of Judah were David's sons. That's why the barometer that the Almighty used was King David when they did which was right in the sight of Yah. And if they didn't do which is right in the sight of Yah, then they did which was evil in the sight of Yah. But they normally use David, Yahweh normally used David as the barometer, because these were his sons and his grandsons. So in the book of Jeremiah, the 52nd chapter, the first verse reads, Zedekiah, 20 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned 11 years in Jerusalem. And his mother's name was Hamutal, the daughter of Jeremiah of Libnah. And he did which was evil in the eyes of Yahweh, according to all that Jehoiakim had done. For through the anger of Yah, it came to pass in Jerusalem, in Yehuda, till he had cast them out from his presence, that Zedekiah rebelled against the king of Babylon. And he rebelled against the king because the Almighty set up Nebuchadnezzar. That was the Almighty's anointed that he used as a barometer to control the people, to keep the people in order. It was the Almighty's whooping boy stick, so the year of his reign. And in the 10th month, in the 10th day of the month that Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, came, he and all his army against Jerusalem, and pitched against it, and built forts against it round about. And that's what we just read in the book of Deuteronomy, the 28th chapter, dealing with this siege. And it says, so the city was besieged unto the 11th year of King Zedekiah. And in the 4th month, in the 9th day of the month, the famine was sore in the city, and that there was no bread for the people of the land. And all the men of war fled and went forth out of the city by night, by the way of the gate between the two walls, which was by the king's garden. Now the Chaldeans were by the city round about, and they were by the way of the plain. And as the scripture said, this man would not regard the old nor the young. And so this city, which is our land, which is Jerusalem, is besieged by the Chaldeans, which are the Babylonians. This is in the 8th verse. But the army of the Chaldeans pursued after the king, and overtook Zedekiah in the plains of Jericho. And all his army was scattered from amongst him, Babylon, in Riblah, in the land of Hamath, where he gave judgment upon him. And the king of Babylon slew the sons of Zedekiah before his eyes. He slew also all the princes of Yehuda and Riblah. Then he came and put out the eyes of Zedekiah. And the king of Babylon bound him in chains and carried him to Babylon and put him in prison till the day of his death. Now, this, we're dealing with judgment. It says in the 12th verse, now, in the fifth month, in the 10th day of the month, which was the ninth of Babylon, came Nebuzaradan, the captain of the guard. This is his right-hand man, which served the king of Babylon into Jerusalem and burned the house of Yah and the king's house and all the houses of the great man burned he with fire. And all the army of the Chaldeans that worked with the captain of the guard broke down all the walls of Jerusalem round about. Then Nebuzaradan, the captain of the guard, carried away captive certain of the poor of the people. And the residue of the people that remained in the city fell away that he fell to the king of Babylon and to the rest of the multitude. But Nebuzaradan, the captain of the guard, left certain of the poor of the land for vine dressers and for husbandmen. And they even knew the significance of the land and that the land was still a land that was a prosperous land. But as we see, after the destruction of our great king at that time that did which was evil in the sight, and all the people that was under his leadership, they all took a loss. And so we want to be able to prepare ourselves in a time of trouble. And one of the things that we have to do is remember ye the law of Yahweh, which was given to his servant Moses. We can never forget that, regardless of what's going on in our lives. We cannot deviate from the law. The scripture says, he that turneth his ear from hearing the law, even his prayer is abomination. So you can make many prayers, but if your prayers are not based on the laws, the statutes, and commandments of Yahweh, what you're doing is an error. So I wanted to show that particular scripture, but I also want to go to the book of 1 Kings. And as you know, some of these shelves that we've been going to at these grocery stores, they have been short on a lot of items. And one thing that's going on at this particular time, besides this virus, we're dealing with a lot of flooding, and we're dealing with a lot of drought. So we have a just balance of drought and a just balance of too much water. So what we're doing is, what's going on at this particular time is a time of not knowing what to do. But we have to do something. And the Almighty gave us a solution what to do in captivity. But at this particular time, I would like for you to turn your scripture to the book of 1 Kings. Pleasant it is for brothers to dwell together in unity. And we're going to have to come together one way or the other because the Almighty decreed it. And we have to prepare ourselves before the day of Yah, a day of dark gloominess. And so we as a people, we got to set aside our differences. If you serve Yahweh, then we can. There's a strong suggestion that we can work together and put those differences to the side and come back to Yah and serve Yah and do what he told us to do, which is already started. In the book of 1 Kings, the 17th chapter, we're going to start with the first verse. And Elijah, the Tishbite, who was on the inhabitants of the Gilead, said unto Ahab, as Yah, the Elohim of Israel, liveth, before whom I stand, there shall be no dew nor rain these years, but according to my word. So he's letting them know, the king, that there will be no dew or rain for multiple years to come. And the word of Yah came unto him, saying, get thee hence, and hide thyself by the brook of Cherith, that is before Yarodon. And it shall be that thou shalt drink of the brook, and I have commanded the ravens to feed thee there. So he went and did accordingly unto the word of Yah, for he went and dwelt in the brook of Cherith, that is before Yarodon. And the ravens brought him bread and flesh in the morning, and bread and flesh in the evening, and he drank of the brook. And we see within the confines of the scriptures that was just read that Elijah was fed by a raven. because the Almighty knew the conditions of the earth, and that was the Almighty's servant. And so he even made a raven bring him food. But who's going to bring us food if we're doing which is evil in the sight of Yah? Only thing or only insect that might bring you a food is a roach. And you don't want no roach bringing you no breadcrumbs. So we need to turn ourselves back to Yah and get the right food. And it says in the 7th verse, and it came to pass after a while that the brook dried up. There had been no rain in the land. And a lot of people complain about the rain. A lot of people become depressed about the rain. They said it's another rainy day. We can't do what we want to do. We can't enjoy the sun outside. But without the rain comes drought. You can't feed yourselves without the rain. So we always ask Yahweh to give us the current rain and the latter rain. Because without rain, you don't have growth. And it says in the 8th verse, and the word of Yah came unto him, saying, arise, get there to Zarephath, which belongeth, behold, I have commanded a widow woman there to sustain thee. And that's where the scripture says there's safety in the multitude of counsel. So he's letting them know, I have this woman that's going to be there, and she's going to sustain you through this drought. So he rose and went to Zarephath. And when he came to the gate of the city, where the widow woman was, there gathering of sticks. And he called to her and said, fetch me, I pray thee, a little water in thy vessel, that I may drink. And as she was going to fetch it, he called to her and said, bring me, I pray thee, a morsel of bread in thy hand. This drought that was upon the face of the earth, Elijah was just so hungry. Just bring me a morsel of bread. Just bring me something. I'm hungry. And that's what you're talking about, an affliction. When you can't feed yourselves and your stomach is growling and you can't think right. And it says in the 12th verse, and she said, as Yah thy Elohim liveth, I have not a cake, but a handful of meal in a barrel and a little oil in a cruse. And behold, I am gathering two sticks that I may go and dress it for me and my son, that we may eat and die. Because that's how bad this drought was, the dearth that was upon the face of this earth, that she figured this was her last meal, that she was going to enjoy her meal with her loved one, with her son, and go ahead and pass, and go the way of all flesh. And it says in the 13th verse, and Elijah said unto her, fear not, go and do as thou hast said, but make thee thereof a little cake first, and bring it unto me, and after make for thee and for thy son. For thus saith Yahweh the Elohim of Israel, meal shall not waste, neither shall the cruse of oil fail unto the day of that Yahweh sendeth rain upon the earth. And you know what? She believed him. She believed him. She said, this is the last morsel of bread, and I'm going to do as you told me. Do you think most women or men would have done that? And this is what you call humble yourself. This is what you call putting your pride to the side. And it says in the 14th verse, for thus saith Yahweh the Elohim of Israel. I'm sorry, the 15th verse. And she went and did according to the saying of Elijah. And she and her house, barrel of meal wasted not. Neither did the cruse of oil fail according to the word of Yahweh, which he spoke. So I wanted to say praise the mighty Yah on that. And that's what happens when you put your trust in Yah. It might seem that you might have nothing, but you actually might have everything. And that's the situation will be for our people. We put our trust in Yahweh, because Yahweh is our judge. He's our lawgiver. He's our creator. He knows you. He knows your making in Yahweh with all our heart, with all our soul, and all our might. And there's a scripture I wanted to bring to you in the book of Genesis. And as we talked about this particular hunger, this particular famine that is upon us, even unto this day, I want to give you some solutions to this. And this is through the word of Yahweh. And we can find this in the book of Genesis. Seeing here, there's actually some solutions concerning the family, the famine. And sometimes when you think there's not a way, there is a way. Because the scripture says, man's goings are of Yahweh, so how can man understand his own way? So once again, this goes right back to put in your trust in Yahweh. So in the book of Genesis, the 47th chapter, I'm going to start with the very first verse. This is then, Yosef came and told Pharaoh, it says, my Abba and my brethren and their flocks and their herds and all that they have are come out the land of Canaan. And behold, they are in the land of Goshen. And he took some of his brethren, even the five men, and presented them unto Pharaoh. And Pharaoh said unto his brethren, what is your occupation? And he said unto Pharaoh, thy servants are shepherds, which are sheep herders, both we and also our fathers. So this is something, this was what you would call a family business, a family operation. Said moreover unto Pharaoh, for to sojourn in the land are we come, for thy servants have no pasture for their flocks, for the famine is sore in the land of Canaan. Now therefore we pray thee, let thy servants dwell in the land of Goshen, because the land was a famine. The land was within a drought. There was no water. So they wanted to find land in Goshen. And that's why they, the word Hebrew is the one that's a person that's actually traveling to the land of Goshen. And it says in the fifth verse, and Pharaoh spake unto Yosef, saying, my father and thy brethren are come unto thee. The land of Egypt is before thee. In the best of the land make thy father and thy brethren to dwell in the land of Goshen. Let them dwell, and if thou knowest any man of activity amongst them, then make them rulers over my cattle. And Yosef brought into Jacob his father and set him before Pharaoh, and Jacob blessed Pharaoh. And Pharaoh said unto Yaakov, we need to get back to blessing our people. And that's one thing we have. We thank our people, but we never bless our people. And this is why the scripture says, seek the old path and walk therein. And within the confines of the old path, we see that we were a people that blessed our people. Instead of just thanking our people, we blessed our people. And we need to get back to that. It says in the seventh verse, and Yosef brought in Yaakov his father and set him before Pharaoh, and Yaakov blessed Pharaoh. And Pharaoh said unto Yaakov, how old art thou? And Yaakov said unto Pharaoh, the days of thy years of my pilgrimage are 130 years. Evil have the days of the years of my life been, and have not attained unto the days of the years of thy life of my fathers in the days of their pilgrimage. And Yaakov blessed Pharaoh and went out before Pharaoh. And Yosef placed his father and his brethren and gave them a possession in the land of Egypt, in the best of the land. So these weren't the ghettos. This is the best of the land, in the land of Ramesses, and Pharaoh had commanded. And Yosef nourished his father and his brethren and all his father's household with bread, according to their fathers. And there was no bread in all the land, and all the land of Canaan fainted by the reason of the famine. And here we see that the land can faint. Just as we become heat exhausted, the land became heat exhausted and fainted. And this one, this at times when you look at the land that's dealing with a drought, it's all cracked up. And that's how our skin becomes too. It becomes cracked up because it doesn't have the nourishment. It doesn't have the water to sustain us. In other words, it's lost its nutrients. And it says in the 14th verse, and Yosef gathered up all the money in the land of Egypt and in the land of Canaan for the corn which they bought. And Yosef brought the money unto the Pharaoh's house. So he took all the money and he got to buy it. And it sounds like a familiar situation because during this particular pestilence that we have today, what did people start doing? They started buying up things. And one thing they wanted to make sure in this pestilence that they had toilet paper. At all things people wanted, they wanted to make sure they had toilet paper. Well, Yosef didn't think like that. He had a better concept. Discretion shall preserve thee. The scriptures also say, if thou be wise for thyself. And there's a reason why he did what he did, because something else was coming. And it says in the 15th verse, and when money failed in the land of Egypt, in the land of Canaan, all the Egyptians came unto Yosef and said, give us bread, for why shall we die in their presence? For the money faileth. And that's what we're running into today. They're writing out all these stimulus checks. Everybody got their $1,200, $500 extra for your children. But what you going to do when the money fails? Because they're writing out a bad check, a promissory note that can't, that has absolutely no backing, no gold, no to be having another stimulus. So how many stimuluses are we going to have before the money fails? So you got to keep this in mind now. This is why I said this scripture in the book of Genesis is the exact same situation we're going through. It says in the 16th verse, and Joseph said, give your cattle, and I will give you for cattle if the money fails. And this is what they call a barter system. It's a very great system. It's a system based on goods and services. Well, for example, I got this rice right here, a bag of rice. And you can go ahead and I'll trade you off for your bag of, in the 17th verse. And they brought their cattle unto Joseph. And Joseph gave them bread in exchange for horses and for the flocks and for the cattle of thy herds and for the asses. And he fed them with bread for all their cattle that year. So once again, the barter system was in full effect. So that year they was good. But it says in the 18th verse, when that year was ended, they came unto him the second year and said unto him, we will not hide it from our master, how that our money is spent, the money gone. My master also have our herds of cattle. There is not aught left in the sight of my master but our bodies and our land. So they didn't have anything to barter with anymore. So now they was going to do, they were going to use their services now. They said, we don't have any food. We don't have any livestock to trade with you, but we will allow ourselves to be servants unto thee, and we will give up our lands unto thee. And it says in the 19th verse, wherefore shall we die before thy eyes, both we and our land, buy us and our land for bread, and we and our land will be servants unto Pharaoh, and do what? Give us seed that we may live and not die, that the land be not desolate. And that scripture right there concerning the seed is very important. Seed bearing. And why everybody was quick to go to these Walmarts and these Krogers and these other stores, no one was quick to go buy seeds. And well, let me tell you something. A seed pack can feed 20 to 30 people, if not more. And that's one thing you got to keep in mind. And this one thing concerning this, our health fair that we've been having, which has happened to be the fifth day of it, we want to get into the actual gardening, and I want to be speaking about that. Actually, the gardening that I want to be speaking on is urban gardening for those that stay in apartment buildings. But I'm going to continue reading to the 20th verse. It says, and Joseph brought all the land of Egypt for Pharaoh, for the Egyptians sold every man his field, because the famine prevailed over them. So the land became Pharaoh's. I mean, in other words, they were succumbed over the famine. And it says in the 21st verse, and as for the people, he removed them to cities from one end of the border of Egypt even to the other thereof. Only the land of the priests brought he not, for the priests had a portion assigned them of Pharaoh, and did eat their portions, which Pharaoh gave them. Wherefore they sold not their lands. Then Joseph said unto the people, behold, I have brought you this day in your land for Pharaoh. Lo, here is seed for you, and you shall sow thy land, in other words, plant it. And it shall come to pass in the increase that he shall give the fifth part unto Pharaoh, and four parts shall your own, for seed of the field, and for your food, and for them of your households, and for your little ones. And they said, thou hast saved our lives. Let us find grace in thy sight of my master, and we will be Pharaoh's servants. So they didn't mind being Pharaoh's servants because they wanted to eat because of this famine, this dearth that was upon them. And it says in the 26th verse, and Joseph made it a law over the land of Egypt until this day, that Pharaoh should have the fifth part except the land of the priests, only which became not Pharaoh's. And Israel dwelt in the land of Egypt in the country of Goshen, and they had possessions therein. Jacob lived in the land of Egypt 70 years. So the whole age of Jacob was 147 years. And that time drew near that Israel must die. And he called his son Yosef and said unto him, if now I have found grace in thy sight, but I pray thee, thy hand under my thigh, and deal kindly and truly with me, bury me not, I pray thee, in Egypt. So he made him take a vow. And that's how we did vows. You put your hand under the thigh, and you made your vow. And you carried out your vow. And it says in the 30th verse, but I will lie with my fathers, and thou shalt carry me out of Egypt, and bury me in their burying place. And he said, I will do as thou hast said. And he said, swear unto me. And he swore unto him. And Israel bowed himself upon the beds his. So praise Yah. And I want to go over one particular scripture. And this is a very important scripture. And that's in the book of Jeremiah, the 29th chapter. This is Jeremiah, the 29th chapter. This is a very important scripture for our people today. And I believe this is a scripture that was been perpetually neglected in Jeremiah, the 29th chapter. And I'm going to start reading at the 4th verse of Jeremiah, the 29th chapter. And this is Yah speaking. Thus saith Yahweh of hosts, the Elohim of Israel, unto all that are carried away captives, whom I have caused to be carried away from Jerusalem unto Babylon. So this is our Babylonian captivity by the Chaldeans, which is the first beast, when our people were carried up out of Jerusalem that was under the King Nebuchadnezzar and his captain Nebuzaradan. And it says in the 5th verse, it says, build ye houses and dwell in them, and plant gardens and eat the fruit of them. But let me go back to that 5th verse. And there's something I want to say in that 5th verse, something that's very important that our people was told to do. And build ye houses. Well, the question becomes, how do you build if you don't know how to build? Well, first of all, you got to learn some carpentry. You got to learn how to build a foundation. You got to know how to cut wood. You got to know how to do plumbing, electrical, roofing. It's a lot to build a house, especially to build houses in captivity. That means you have to have good credit because you got to purchase you some land. And then on that land, then you have to build the foundation. You can't build nothing without a foundation. And this was given, this commandment was solely given unto the men. And this was part of making a man. Build you houses and do what? And dwell in them. Not just sell them, but the house you build, you need to live in it. And he tells us something else. He tells us to plant gardens and do what? Sell it. No, he says, and to eat the fruit thereof. And the reason why the Almighty told us to eat the fruit thereof, because he knew that our people was going into captivity, and the food that we will be eating today will be equivalent to dung. So that's why he told us specifically to build you houses and plant vineyards and eat the fruit thereof. That's Yah's order. But we're going to continue reading because he has additional orders that he gave us. In the 6th verse, he told us to do what? You wives, and these wives that you begot, begat sons and daughters, and take wives for your sons and give daughters to your husbands, that they may bear sons and daughters, that you may be increased there and not diminished. In other words, the Almighty didn't want us to pine away. And this is the Almighty's order. And this is an order that has been neglected amongst our people. And there's a question. Matter of fact, I'm going to continue reading it. I'm going to go ahead and break that down. But it says in the 7th verse, and seek the peace of the city. In other words, don't go out there and get yourself a criminal record. Seek the peace of the city. In it, you'll have peace. It says, whither I have caused you to be carried away captives, and pray unto Yahweh for it, for in the peace thereof shall you have peace. And the Almighty told us to seek peace and pursue it. But we got a lot of slicksters. We got a lot of people that want to do which is right in their own eyes. The scripture said there was no king in those days, and the people did which is right in their own eyes. And it's a problem. But I want to take you back building houses and living in them and planting gardens. And I'm going to give you my own personal testimony on this. As a matter of fact, I spoke to two brothers that had called me on the they called me on a three-way. And one of the brothers asked me, he said, we wanted to ask you a question, bro. I said, yeah. Go ahead and shoot it. So he said unto me, he said, get on another wife. I said, okay. I said, so you already got a first wife? He said, yeah, I got a first wife. I said, so where y'all staying at, you know, with your first wife? And he said, we stay in an apartment. Oh, I said, okay, so you own the apartment building? He said, no, we pay rent. I said, oh, you pay rent? I said, okay. And you want a second wife? And I said, okay. So me and the other brothers speaking, and he said, well, why did you? I took him to Jeremiah, the 29th chapter, and I said, let me tell y'all something, since I got both of y'all on the phone at the same time. And I said, this is the reason why I don't do marriages. And he said, why not? I said, because we didn't obey y'all's word. And rebellion is the sin of witchcraft. The Almighty told us what to do in this order. That's why the scripture says men's goings are of Yahweh's. How can men then understand his way? It's not your way. It's Yah's way. And the Almighty specifically told the men to build houses. So that means we're supposed to be quiet. The Almighty told us to work by the sweat of our eyebrows. The Almighty didn't tell us to go rent nothing. He told us specifically to build houses. This is why we would have a community. And he told us to dwell in them. And he told us to plant gardens and eat the fruit thereof. Now, those two things you needed before you took a wife. So he told you to build a house, and he told you to vineyard, plant a vineyard. But see, as the scripture says, we're a people that's gone away backwards, a people that refuse to hear. And this is why we're in the conditions today. And now we taking wives that we already have. They are baby mamas. And this is why everything is absolutely backwards. And that's why we got to do things the right way, in Yah's order. And this is what you read here is Yah's order. Build you a house, plant a vineyard, take wives, have sons and daughters, and then take your sons and daughters and get them wives and husbands. See, that means you got to be on hands with your children all the way until adulthood. No, you can't pick him. Don't bring him over here. We don't need no thug. You keep that thug over there. See, a lot of our women today, they get men that don't have jobs, men that don't even drive cars, or men that don't even have driver's license. So they go get the bottom feeder men, men that are incompetent, that can't provide. And I said that to say this. I have a three-family apartment building, which I was given as inheritance, an early inheritance. And it was actually run down in Avondale in the hood. It was a trap house. A lot of the drug dealers, they kept their drugs there. It was contaminated or was infested with mold, and it was infested with termites. And my parents gave me that one. Out of all the apartment buildings, they gave me the trap house. And that's how my father is. He's going to test you, what you made of. And since I had always done work for my parents, I finally got my credit right. And this is, we're talking about 3.5 years ago. So my credit, you know, I'm 7770. You know, I'm feeling real good. I'm about to go out and, you know, get me a building. And I got to thinking about it. I said, well, you know, why don't I see what's going on with that building? It's already paid for and it's sitting vacant. It's been vacant for 8 years. So I went to my father and he told me to go get an inspection on that particular building. And I went and got an inspection. They said it was going to cost about $50,000 to rehab that building. So I said, okay, I'm up for the challenge. Well, I'll go and get the building together. It'll be over $90,000. So I had to get a loan on top of loan because of the damage that it had. We had, matter of fact, the roof of this building, actually, it rained. It came from the roof all the way straight down to the basement. So the water just straight through. We had termite damage where we had to tear out all the bathrooms in it. We had mold. The mold was so bad, my wife came there one time and said, I can't come back. She told me, she said, babe, I can't see no vision in there. I can't even come here. See, that's how bad the situation was in there. But I persevered and I pushed. Because one thing I push, because here's what my father said, my mother had said. He's not going to be able to get it together. And so I had to prove my parents wrong on that. So I was there day and night. I got off of work, I was there. A matter of fact, I was there so much, my wife was like, are you seeing somebody else? Matter of fact, I'm seeing this rotted building until I get it completed. And unfortunately, we was dealing with people that was trying to break in. But I had a neighbor, Brother James, actually. There was two guys that was trying to break in. And that's what they're doing. They break in and take your copper. And, of course, we didn't put copper in. We went to Apex Plumbing. But he actually shot off two warning shots, and ran them guys off. And I'm glad to have a neighbor like that. And praise the mighty Yah that we were able to finally get it. It took us 3.5 years to get this building together. And we was able to, we live on a second floor, and we have a we have an urban garden. And I brought some things to show you concerning this urban garden. And we have a tenant on the first floor, and our daughter stays on the third floor. And so we have a nice amount of income coming in. But we'll see how steady it is. So I had, I wanted to definitely go into these scriptures right here, this Jeremiah the 29th chapter, because just if we would have pushed this Jeremiah the 29th chapter, we would have been in a great condition, because we would have been able to barter with each other. Say, man, I got these tomatoes. What you got? You got kale? Or you, what you got? So we could have been bartering our vegetables amongst each other. Matter of fact, we probably could have got to the point where we could have been a wholesaler of our vegetables and had our own gated community. But that's why the scripture says safety and counsel. We need to hear certain scriptures and go over them and see the full significance of what you're reading. Because it's very important to fulfill the scripture here. Is it too late? We'll see. But nevertheless, we want to eat. So I want to show what I brought today. And I brought some vegetables. And these vegetables I brought. This is what is urban gardening. And we got, me and my wife, we have 5 grandkids. And one day I was out at Walmart, and everything was shutting down, and it was big long lines, and I got nervous, because one thing I didn't do was have a garden. Had the house, didn't have a garden. And we just recently got on our gardening, and we're a year behind, because we was done with the building probably about over a year ago. So we should have went right into the garden. And our backyard is not complete, so I had to come up with what I call is urban gardening, which my wife did some research on it. And we went on ahead and started putting stuff in buckets. And what these are is just a 1-gallon bucket. This is romaine lettuce. And what you do is you don't want to fill it all the way up with dirt. I would say you use about 3/4 of the amount of green in. One thing I like about the buckets is I like them with the handles. Whether you can lift it with the handle or if you have to hold it with both hands, you have the ability to take it in and out your houses. And right now we have some very inclement weather going on right now. The weather that we got going on now is unbelievable right now. So we even having days of frost, like this coming FRI, and on the Shabbat supposed to be getting down to 29 degrees. So those that have gardens that are outside, I would suggest that you leave them out there. They'll survive, but they'll end up bruising. A lot of the leaves that you'll see will start bruising. So you want to make sure that you put some felt over your product. And it's very important to pay attention to the weather on a daily basis, because this is the food that you're going to eat. So you want to make sure that you're paying attention to the 10-day forecast, and you want to make sure that you keep this thing watered. A lot of these vegetables that you see that are in containers, they normally have a drip hole, and that's the only setback with the buckets. It doesn't have a drip hole, and that's why I only water it once, watering it once a week. And we set them outside when the weather is good. We got a deck, and we set all our stuff on the deck, all the buckets surrounding the deck. And unfortunately, the a part of the deck has a piece that hangs over where the gutter is, and it doesn't really get so much rainwater, which is good for us, but the rainwater is the best water because it's been heated up from Yah. That sun heats up that rainwater. It's so much a greater value over this tap water. And that's the only issue I have with the buckets. It still work, but the rainwater is so much. They perk so much up the difference between the rainwater from Yah. And some of y'all who have those that might be out there that might have these the barrels that are catching the rain from the gutter, those are excellent water right there. And it's great to have one of those to quench the thirst of your plants and stuff. So this is romaine. And like I said, I got the bucket filled up at 3/4 a bucket. I normally keep a little tab in there. And there's something else I want to show you, too. Besides this, I have a Jiffy greenhouse, for starters. If you're not familiar with using seeds, and a matter of fact, let me show you the seeds. Show you how this works. As you get, you buy your seed packets here. You want to make sure you get organic seed packets. You make sure you don't get them GMO. So you want to make sure you get your seed packets. And they have these little pods in here. You can see. And within the pods, you put 2 seeds per pod in here. Fill it up with water. And then let it swell up. It probably takes about a half an hour to 45 minutes for the pods to swell up. And then you put your 2 seeds per pod. So this one's 72 pods. And what you do is take the whole container itself. Make sure you put it's a greenhouse. It's a plastic that you put over the top. And you stick it underneath your bed. Or you can put it in your attic. And it does great. And what it's going to do is moisturize itself. So you're going to get your own moisture. You're going to see it sweating. And that's what you want. Because you're going to get the nutrients. And then that's your growth right there. And they got little things where you can put your name on what it is and stuff. It's actually great. This is a great way to start your seeds from here. But there's also, you can put them right directly in the soil, but you got to be careful with overwatering it. So I would suggest if this is your first time, you can either get the greenhouse Jiffy starter kit, or you can buy them, the starter plants. A lot of the starter plants you can find at places like Home Depot. They got them at Walmart. I would suggest Home Depot over to Walmart because you have a better variety with the organic about what type of plants you get, because it might not be organic. So you want to make sure you get something that does say organic. And I want to show you another vegetable that I have. This is broccoli right here, and it's doing well, right, as you can see. Once again, I got 3/4 of the amount of dirt. We water it once a week. Plenty of sun. All the vegetables that you plant have to get sun. In the morning, the first thing you want to do is go and open up your blinds, your shades, and make sure the light gets in there. It needs the light. The light is the life. And you'll see them reaching out to you. They'll be out there praising Yah as you praise Yah. So this is the last thing I want to show you. Oh, actually, that was it. Sorry, that was it. Like I said, get you some seeds. If you don't know how to do the seeds and how they actually operate, a lot of times they tell you specifically on back the distancing of the seed. So some of the plants that you plant within your buckets, you got to give them a certain distance. They need distance to spread out. That's why it's probably best to plant your plants outside. But for those that have apartments, you have to make an adjustment. And I suggest this is the best adjustment. You can go on YouTube and see what works. We at judgment time, you know. We dealing with the day of Yah. So we got to make a decision now. We can't wait. We can't procrastinate. And you got to get a move on it. So in the meantime, I just want to say thank you. Thank you, Moray, for allowing me to come up here and teach the word of Yah and incorporate our health, because our health is on the line, especially with our people, especially with this pandemic. Yeah, so, okay. All right, well, the Moray said I had some more time, so I want to, if I got some more time, we can continue on. There's something I wanted to speak on specifically also. And this is in the book of Isaiah, the 24th chapter. And this is actually dealing with the conditions of our people and the conditions of the earth and what we're going through. And I've met a brother at AutoZone probably about a couple weeks ago. I was in there to get some parts. I said, man, God mad at the world, man. And I said, I'm just listening to him. He's talking to the people who work in AutoZone. He's like, God is mad right now, man. God is mad. He said, man, the earth don't rest. They just keep going, going, and going. And I said, I finally decided to speak to the brother. I said, hey, brother, that's Isaiah the 24th chapter. And he said, well, Isaiah the 24th chapter? I said, yeah, Isaiah the 24th chapter. I said, you need to check it out. And it was great to have a dialogue with the brother to tell him some the words of Yah that he can search out himself, because he knew it himself. And that's one thing the word of Yahweh would do. It actually open your eyes to certain things that are going on, where certain things you may not have considered, now you're considering. So I want to show a scripture within Isaiah, the 24th chapter. Where we at, Isaiah, the 24th chapter, there's something I wanted to go over. Matter of fact, I missed something. And this is concerning your greens. It says, greens are one of the easiest crops to grow indoors. And some of the greens listed are spinach, lettuce, mustard, or kale. And you begin to harvest microgreens within a month. Fruiting vegetables such as eggplant, tomatoes, cucumbers, and squash need more space than an average home or school can offer. And that's what I was saying about your measurements. You got to pay attention to how much that particular fruit or vegetable you can put inside of a bucket. It says, all types of lettuce are short-day plants, which means the plants only need 10 to 12 hours of sunlight daily for lettuce. Adequate temperatures and moisture are more concerned than the sunlight. So you don't want to overwater, because one thing about overwatering, you can cause a fungus or mold or mushrooms to come up in there. So you got to be careful with overwatering them. Loose leaf lettuce, which refers to the varieties that don't form any type of head like yours. This type includes Boston and bib lettuce, which are characterized by a loose head 5 days, but no need to wait for that long to enjoy it. You can start thinning and eating the trimming in as little as 3 weeks. Spinach. It says spinach is a cool season crop that will flower or bolt when the sun is high and temperatures are warm. Most varieties mature in 37 to 45 days and can be harvested as soon as it is a rosette with 5 to 6 leaves. And baby kale, and a lot of people like kale. One thing we Israelites, we love that kale. It says plants will be ready to pick 30 days after they are sown. The harvest period usually occurs once in late spring or early summer and again in autumn. So those are just a few pointers concerning the vegetables that we have. We actually have we have 3 fruit plants that we're dealing with. And unfortunately, only one of them is the grapes that we, the grape plant is only doing well. We had, blueberry. I think it was blueberry and I think one of our strawberries is not doing well. But I got another strawberry, and that one's doing well, but the one I originally planted is just browning out. I don't know what's going on with it. I think the weather conditions affect the fruits more than the green vegetables. So that's something to consider with this inclement weather we've been having. So that's probably something I should have kept indoors, but I was setting it outdoors overnight with the rest of the vegetables. So just to consider, it's a little bit more difficult for your fruits than your vegetables to maintain. So just keep that in mind. So, okay, I'm going to go ahead and start reading in Isaiah, the 24th chapter. brother that I had spoke to at AutoZone was talking about the conditions of the earth today. And I want to read this Isaiah, the 24th chapter, because this is a very important chapter that I would like to read. And it says in Isaiah, the 24th chapter, it says, "Behold, Yah maketh the earth empty, and maketh it waste, and turneth it upside down, and scattereth abroad the inhabitants thereof. And it shall be as with the people, so with the priest, as with the servant, so with the master, as with the maid, so with the mistress, as with the buyer, so with the lender, with the borrower, as with the taker of usury, so with the giver of usury to him." So everyone's affected, from the greatest to the least. It says, "The land shall utterly empty and utterly spoil, for Yahweh have spoken his word." So we're dealing with the word of Yah. Yah has spoken. The thing he said will come to pass, and it will not come back void. It says in the fourth verse, "The earth mourneth and fadeth away. The world languisheth and fadeth away. The haughty people of the earth do languish." And that's the people the Almighty gave the earth unto. The Almighty gave the earth unto the wicked, and covered up the faces of the judges thereof. That's why you don't have proper judgment today. It says in the fifth verse, "The earth also is defiled under the inhabitants thereof, because they have transgressed the laws, changed the ordinance, broken the everlasting covenant." And this is what this man has done. This man will tell you a new day starts in the middle of night, at 12 midnight. So the word new and mid don't go hand in hand. It can't be a new day in the middle of something. And it says in the sixth verse, "Therefore have the curse devoured the earth, and they that dwell therein are desolate." We are in today. We are desolate people, not knowing what's going to happen the next day. "Therefore, the inhabitants of the earth are burned, and few men left." And let me tell you something. I had always read that scripture, and I said, "Hey, how do you see this, that it's going to be few men left?" And now I see it. And it's one time I couldn't see it. Now I see it. Whereas of course I believed it, but now I'm a witness to it, that is few men left, especially amongst our people, especially with 70% of our people, of the people, are black people that are dying due to this virus. Seventh verse, the new wine mourneth, the vine languish, all the merry heart do sigh. In other words, those things that made you happy, they set to the side. You're going out, you can't hit the club no more, you can't do what you want to do, you got to sit in the house. And it says, "The mirth of the tabret ceases, the noise of them that rejoiceth endeth, the joy of the harp ceases. They shall not drink wine with a song, strong drink shall be bitter to them that drink it. The city of confusion is broken down, every house is shut up, that no man may come in." In other words, hey, you can't come in here, because I don't know what you got. I don't know what you're bringing. But let me tell you something about Israel. And that's why the Almighty said we was a rebellious people, a stiff-necked people, a people that refuse to hear. All throughout the neighborhoods that I've been going through, these black neighborhoods, everybody out. Everybody, they playing basketball. They got the kids at the playground. Nobody's wearing a mask because they're not even considered. And that's what the wicked do. They don't even consider that you might bring this home to your mother or your father or your grandparents or those that might be sick, because you want to do what you want to do. And it says in the 11th verse, it says, "There is crying for wine in the streets. All joy is darkened. The mirth of the land is gone." And that's your gladness. That's gone. It says in the 12th verse, "And the city is left desolation, and the gate is smitten with destruction." And that's what we got going on, destruction of human mankind. It says in the 13th verse, "When thus it shall be in the midst of the land amongst the people, there shall be as the shaking of an olive tree and as the gleaning grapes when the vintage is done. They shall lift up their voice, they shall sing for the majesty of Yah, they shall cry aloud from the sea. Wherefore glorify ye Yahweh in the fires, even the name of Yahweh, the Elohim of Israel, in the nations, the isles of the sea. Have we heard songs, even glory to the righteousness. But I said, my leanness, woe unto me. The treacherous dealers have dealt treacherously. Yea, The treacherous dealers have dealt very treacherously. Fear and the pit and the snare are upon thee, O inhabitant of the earth. And it's something else to read, is because a lot of the Jehovah Witnesses don't believe in the pit. They don't believe in what we call so-called hell. They don't believe that. But this is something they might want to consider. In the 18th verse, and it shall come to pass that he who fleeth from the noise of the fear fall into the pit. And he that cometh up out of the midst of the pit shall be taken in a snare. For the windows from of high are open, and the foundations of the earth do shake. The earth is utterly broken down. The earth is clean dissolved. The earth is moved exceedingly. The earth shall reel to and fro like a drunkard, and shall be removed like a cottage. And the transgression thereof shall be heavy upon it, and it shall fall and not rise again. That know America and these other nations where our people were scattered and made a byword and a proverb, it's going to eventually fall, and it will not rise again. I know a lot of people thinking, they say, hey, when this coronavirus over with, we're going back to business as usual. But the Almighty said, no, it's not going to rise again. It will never be the same. It's one thing we know, your money ain't going to hold up. Your money, might as well use that for your toilet paper, because it's not going to hold up. And it says in the 21st verse, and it shall come to pass in that day that Yahweh shall punish the hosts of high ones that are on high, and the kings of the earth upon the earth. This is the Almighty's judgment upon man. And those kings that sit on high, these presidents that are sit on high, he got them trembling. He got them shaking in their boots. They don't have no idea what to do. Everything they done put their trust to is collapsed. They're having discussion of this day by day and can't come up with a solution. And the reason why they can't come up with a solution, because there is no counsel, no wisdom, no understanding against Yah. So there's nothing they can do. But there is something they could have done, which was humble themselves, put on sackcloths, and gave all praise to Yah. That's what they should have did. They should have, instead of saying that we're fighting against the invisible enemy, they should have submitted themselves to this invisible enemy. And that's Yahweh. That's why the scripture says, can there be evil in the city lest I done did it? He said, I would do nothing unless I reveal my hand to my servants, the prophets. And that's what the prophets did. They revealed the hand of Yah. And it says in the 22nd verse, and they shall be gathered together as prisoners are gathered in the pit, and shall be shut up in the prison. And after many days shall they be visited. Then the moon shall be confounded, and the sun ashamed, when Yahweh of hosts shall reign in Mount Zion and in Jerusalem, and before his ancients gloriously. And I would say it all that to say this, praise the mighty Yah, because we know the Almighty is coming to rule here upon the face of the earth. And it's not going to be what you think it's going to be. The Almighty does things for his sake. And we're here to witness his word. And there's another verse I would like to show. How's my time? This is Isaiah, the first chapter. And this is the Almighty's kingdom. I seen on YouTube there was an Israelite congregation, I believe they were Messianic, that was teaching that we Israelites weren't going home. I'm sorry, it's Isaiah, the second chapter. He said, why are Israelites teaching that we're going back to the promised land of Canaan? He said, why are they teaching that we're going back to Jerusalem? He said, we're not going back to Jerusalem anymore. He said, that's done away with. And I sat there scratching my head. And I said, this is an Israelite minister. The Almighty said concerning this. This is in the book of Isaiah, the second chapter. This is the very first verse. This is the vision of Isaiah. It says, the word that Isaiah, the son of Amos, saw concerning Yehuda and Jerusalem. And it shall come to pass. In other words, this is going to happen. This is an event that has not taken place yet. This is a future prophecy that will come to pass. It says, in the last days, that the mountain of Yahweh's house shall be established in it of the mountains, and shall be exalted above the hills, and all nations shall flow unto it. all nations. This is going to be the capital of the world, which is going to be in Jerusalem. And it says, and many people shall go and come, ye, and let us go to the mountain of Yahweh, to the house of the Elohim of Yaakov. And he will teach us his ways, and we will walk in his paths. For out of Zion shall go forth the law, the word of Yah. And the word of Yah from where? Yahrus his name forever. And he shall judge among the nations. And we're seeing that right now. We got judgment taking place right now. And shall rebuke many people. And a lot of people are rebuked to today. And they shall beat their swords into plowshares, and their spears into pruning hooks. Nation shall not lift up sword against nation. Because that's all this man knows is war. How can we outdo the next nation? But the Almighty said he's shutting it down. You don't have to worry about it. Neither shall they learn war anymore. He's going to take that out of them. He's going to break them. And that's what the Almighty is going to do. He's going to break them like a vase being broken. This is the old house of Yaakov, come ye, and let us walk in the light of Yah. That's what we're here to do. We're here to walk in the light of Yah and magnify Yah's name and make his name known amongst the heathens. And it says in the 6th verse, therefore, thou hast forsaken thy people, the house of Yaakov, because they be replenished from the east, and are soothsayers, like the Philistines, and they please themselves in the children of strangers. And that's what they say about a lot of black folks. We call them Uncle Tom. They please themselves in strangers. They want to be like the enemy. They want to walk like them. They want to talk like them. They want to act like them. They want to go get drinks like them. And that's what the scriptures talk about. We please ourselves in strangers. It says their land also is full of silver and gold. Neither is there any end of their treasure. Their land is also full of horses. Neither is there any end of their chariots. Their land also is full of idols. They worship the work of their own hands, that which their own fingers have made. And that's one thing this man does. I mean, he's real big in the scientists. When this plague came upon the people, they went to the scientists. They didn't go to their churches. They weren't at their mosques. Those got shut down. So they depended themselves on their God, the pharmaceutical industry. And we see where that's got them. Absolutely nowhere. And it says in the 9th verse, and the mean man bowed down, and a great man humbled himself. Therefore, forgive them not. Enter into the rock and hide thee in the dust, for the fear of Yahweh and for the glory of his majesty. And that's what we're going to be seeing. A lot of these people that got these underground taverns or underground, bug out locations. They're going to be underneath the ground. They're going to be what you call a mole. Anything, if you know anything about a mole, it's like a little mouse looking thing that's blind and it has these claws and it just digs and it eats worms. That's his whole life. It says in the 11th verse, the lofty look of man shall be humbled, and the haughtiness of man shall be bowed down. And Yahweh alone shall be exalted in that day. So we ain't got to worry about these other deities. We don't have to worry about the haughty man. We don't have to worry about the arrogant man. We don't have to worry about the thugs. We ain't got to worry about hoodlums. We got to worry about Yah and Yah only, because that's the only Elohim that will be worshipped at that time. And this will be my last verse. In the 12th verse it says, for the day of Yah of hosts shall be upon everyone that is proud and lofty, and upon everyone that is lifted up, and he shall be brought low. And without saying, I wanted to say praise the mighty Yah, and thank you for having me. I enjoyed myself, and praise the mighty Yah. And I'm going to bring up Moray Isha to close this out class. Praise the mighty Yah.
Hallelujah. Praise the mighty Yah. And that was a beautiful lesson, presentation that our brother Moray Yashikar brought to us, dealing with Renew Your Youth, part 5. Very important point that was made by our Moray, especially when he went to that Jeremiah 29.
and showed us the importance of growing our own food, as was mentioned. And as you can see in the news today, food is not as bountiful as it once was. It was reported that Wendy's, the store that a lot of y'all like to go to, is not going to serve burgers. How ain't you going to serve a burger at Wendy's? They're the only ones that serve that square patty. And you're not going to be able to eat that. Never frozen. Yes, no more cheeseburgers from Wendy's. And if Wendy's is doing it, somebody's got shot at McDonald's in Oklahoma because they couldn't sit in the restaurant. And they shot the employee for not letting them sit in the restaurant. They hungry, they mad, and they can't get their fast food. And you know this fast food has toxins in them that create a chemical dependence to them. You keep on eating it, you become addicted to it as if you were smoking a cigarette. And so the food is becoming less abundant. As was mentioned, the shelves in your grocery stores, especially when the panic hit virus, the meat sections in the grocery stores I was going to was bare. The you know, where you get your fresh cuts from, those people that worked in that area looked bored because they didn't have nothing to sell. They was bare. And they're going to be bare again. And they're going to start rationing the meat that you can buy even more than they are now. And the meat is not going to be available. And a lot of you all eat meat for breakfast, lunch, dinner, snack, and midnight snack. You're eating meat. And this is not going to be available to you. So many of our people eat so many meat products that your bodies don't even like eating the herbs and the fruits to the point where you get sick. I've counseled many people that said they get sick by eating vegetables. And that's just your body trying to purge itself of all the bad stuff. The herbs is actually supposed to make you sick, because you got a lot of toxins in you, and it's just trying to purge you. But how many people are going to turn to eating vegetables? That's why you got to have your gardens. And it's not too late. Get your gardens. Plant your gardens. Sprout. You can do sprouting in your house. You can do sprouts. But you need to have your own food supply, because the food is not going to be as abundant as it once was. So that was a beautiful lesson that our brother brought to us on this special week of teaching on Renew Your Youth, or your health, according to the ways of Yahweh. So let's take heed to the information that has been presented. Let's gather ourselves together so that we may be hid. And let's praise the mighty Yah. And until tomorrow, Yahweh loves you very much, and so do we. Shalom.
The Spirit of God. Spirit of God, wanna be here.